Several weeks ago, I was deciding whether or not to remain in the Psalms during Advent. As I looked at the Psalms that we would be on, I realized there were some good connections. For instance, Psalm 86 led us well into communion that we celebrated on the first Sunday of Advent. And then last week, Psalm 87 connected to the baptisms we celebrated, and we learned the truth that Jesus was born here on this earth, that we might be born again as citizens of the true Jerusalem that he will usher in at his second advent. Those are some nice connections I hope you have appreciated. Connections like that led me to stay in the Psalms, and I'm glad I did, because now that I have studied the psalm we are on today, Psalm 88, I can tell you that Advent, during the year 2020, is the perfect time to look at this psalm. I consider this psalm to be a healthy gift to us from God as we near Christmas 2020. And I pray you will as well. I say the psalm is a healthy gift because I will tell you up front that it is not a pleasant psalm. It's like medicine that doesn't taste very nice. You take it because you know it's going to help you. If you have not yet opened your Bibles to Psalm 88, I invite you to do so. And if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. The title of this psalm is long. The title is A Psalm of the Sons of Korah to the choir master, according to Mahalath, Leonath, Maskil of Heman, the Ezrahite. And what I especially ask you to take note of in that title is that we're told the name of the man who wrote the psalm. His name is Heman, and I'll tell you about Heman later. For knowing that Heman wrote it will help us apply this psalm. Let's now listen to the psalm. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength. Like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we ask you to use this psalm to show us the light of Christ. May we better appreciate the amazing truth that he came into this world to save us, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this psalm can be summarized with one word, the word darkness. That's one reason I said this psalm is fitting for the season of Advent. One of the themes of Advent is the contrast between darkness and light. That's why we use an Advent wreath. When we began Advent, all of the candles on the Advent wreath were unlit. The wreath was dark, representing the darkness of the world Christ Jesus was born into. This psalm describes that darkness. So if you remember that one word, darkness, you will remember this psalm. The psalm, you might say, cries out for light in the dark. This is not the first time we have looked at a dark psalm, but this psalm is different than the other dark psalms. Do you have any idea why I say that? Maybe you caught it as I read. I say it because Psalm 88 not only begins with darkness, it ends with darkness. Matter of fact, the last word of the psalm is darkness. That's true in our English translation, as you can see on the screen, and it's also true in the original Hebrew text. Darkness is the very last word of the psalm. That's different than other psalms. For other psalms, we'll give at least a glimmer of hope and light at or near the end of the psalm. For instance, do you remember Psalm 42? I know that was a long time ago that we looked at that. Interestingly, it was also written by the sons of Korah. Psalm 42 is a psalm in which the psalmist is depressed. Near the beginning of that psalm, the psalmist writes, "My tears have been my food day and night." That's an accurate picture of deep, dark depression, isn't it? And the following statement is repeated in Psalm 42. You'll find it in verse 5 and verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" And that statement leaves no doubt that the psalmist is depressed. It is a dark psalm for that reason, just like Psalm 88 is. But here's the difference. Psalm 42 contains a repeated phrase of hope, and that phrase ends the psalm. The last words of Psalm 42 are, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." That's a beautiful statement of hope. That phrase at the end of Psalm 42 is why I love Psalm 42. Psalm 88 does not end with a word of hope. It ends with the word darkness. It is different for that reason. And therefore, many scholars have called Psalm 88 the saddest psalm in the whole of the Psalter. Dr. James Boyce, in his commentary, summarizes what some other scholars have said about Psalm 88. Quote, Derek Kidner says, "This is the saddest prayer in the Psalter." H.C. Leopold wrote, "It is the gloomiest psalm found in the Scriptures," adding, "The psalmist is as deeply in trouble when he has concluded his prayer as when he began it." J.J. Stuart Perrone said, "This is the darkest, saddest psalm in all the Psalter. It is one wail of sorrow from beginning to end." And all of those comments are accurate. So this is not a psalm you hear very often. But dear friends, we need this psalm. We need it. It is in God's holy word to inspire us for a reason. It is helpful medicine when you let it teach you, when you let it have its full effect in your mind and in your heart. So my prayer is that we will take hold of this psalm and let it teach us and strengthen us. It is a gift to us, especially during Advent 2020. Having said that, I now ask you to consider with me the darkness. That's the title of my first point, the darkness. One truth we see in this psalm is that darkness is separation from God. And more specifically, darkness is separation from what I will call God's life-giving attributes. His love, goodness, mercy, grace. I give that detail in parenthesis because it is impossible to be entirely separated from God. God is omniscient. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He's sustaining all things. So even Satan himself cannot be entirely separated from God. But you can be separated from the love, grace, and mercy of God, and hence all the joy and abundant life God gives. Notice that in this psalm, the psalmist feels he is only experiencing God's just wrath. Listen to verses 6 and 7. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You overwhelm me with all your waves. And look at verses 16 and 17. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. In this psalm, Heman, the psalmist, feels as if the only attribute of God he is experiencing is God's just wrath. He feels separated from God's love and God's goodness and such things, separated from God's favor. And he describes that separation as being in a dark, deep place. And that's a right description. For dear friends, God is light. And when he turns his face of favor away from you, you are in the dark. That's one truth about darkness. It is separation from God's life-giving attributes. Second, we see in this psalm that darkness is separation from others. That is my second subpoint about the darkness. The darkness is separation from others. Listen to verses 8 and 18. Verse 8 says, "You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape." And verse 18 says, "You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness." The psalmist felt that part of God's wrath on him was the fact that he was separated from loved ones and friends. That separation added to the darkness in his life. And when you think about how God created us, that makes complete sense. Think with me about creation. God created us to be with him. God was with Adam in the garden. And what did God say about Adam? In Genesis 2, verse 18, we hear, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" That's an important truth about us. For joy, for life, for light, we not only need God, we need each other. Darkness is separation from God and from others made in his image. Now, with that truth before us, think about the COVID-19 lockdowns. The lockdowns have separated us from many people. And because of the lockdowns, there have been ways in which we have also felt separated from God. We're grateful for live stream, but it's not the same. I submit to you that during the lockdown, people are struggling with mental health. We've all read about this. People are struggling with mental health because the lockdowns have brought separation and hence darkness into our lives. I want to read to you a comment I made in the Holman commentaries on the Psalms, which this particular psalm was authored by Dr. Stephen Lawson. Before I read the comment, I will first of all tell you that this commentary was written in 2006. So the pandemic was certainly not on the mind of the author, Stephen Lawson. But the comment on verse 18 made me think about what people are experiencing during the COVID-19 lockdowns. Quote, "Sinking further, the psalmist again claimed that the Lord had turned his friends against him. This isolation was because he was repulsive in their sight, perhaps involving a quarantine because of a life-threatening illness. He could only conclude, the darkness is my closest friend." Dear friends, it's possible that Heman the psalmist was contagiously, severely ill, near the grave ill. And because of the illness, he may have been in quarantine, separated from his friends. That is darkness. And we've all had a taste of that darkness during this pandemic. Some of us more than others. Darkness is separation from God. And darkness is separation from others. And therefore, complete darkness is death. That's my third subpoint. That's a third truth we see in this psalm. Complete darkness is death. Heman the psalmist talks a lot about death in Psalm 88, for he feels as if he would soon be in the grave. Listen to verses 3 through 5. "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand." Notice the words Sheol, the pit, the grave. He's talking about the place of the dead. And notice he says that in that place people are cut off from God's hand, meaning cut off from his help, from his protection, his love, his grace, his mercy. Cut off from the joy and life-giving attributes of God. And in that place, they are also cut off from others. Dear friends, death is complete darkness. Death is separation from God, separation from others. Now, with that truth in front of us, I want to explain something we learn in the New Testament. Namely, we learn that hell is eternal death, and hence it is eternal darkness. I say we learn this in the New Testament because in the Old Testament, there's actually not a lot of teaching about the current hell. And therefore, Heman is not talking about hell in Psalm 88. Heman is talking about death, not hell. That's an important difference in Old Testament, New Testament. Heman's talking about death, but in the New Testament, we learn more about hell. As New Testament Christians, we're told hell is eternal death, and it is eternal darkness. I'm putting on the screen three passages from the book of Matthew. Each of these passages is describing a different ministry scene, a different situation in which Jesus was teaching. So, realize that what Jesus says in these three passages, he said often over his 3 years of ministry. This was a common statement Jesus made. You see it three times in the one gospel, Matthew, three different situations. In each passage, Jesus is describing hell, and take note of what he says about hell in each of these. He calls it the outer darkness. And says in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is darkness, a place of ministry, misery, because hell is separation from God's life-giving attributes. And it is separation from others. There will be no companionship in hell. Those who say, I'm going to go party in hell, no, they don't understand it at all. There is no companionship there. No trust, no caring friends. It's separation from all of that and from the life-giving attributes of God. And therefore, it is eternal darkness. So in Psalm 88, as New Testament Christians who understand this about hell, we can look back at Psalm 88 and say that Heman was getting a taste of hell. Heman was not headed to hell. I want to make that clear. And I'm going to make that more clear in a moment. Heman was not headed to hell. But what he was feeling was a taste of hell. For hell is eternal death. Hell is eternal, complete darkness. It is separation, complete, eternal separation from God's life-giving attributes and separation from others. And Jesus used the word darkness to describe death and hell. Now, even though Heman felt like darkness was overtaking him, what I want to point out next is that Heman shows in this psalm persistent faith. That's why I say with confidence, Heman was not headed to hell. For he shows in this psalm persistent faith. It's the one bit of light in Psalm 88, Heman's persistent faith. Look at verse 1 with me. Heman writes, O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. What I want you to note is that Heman begins the psalm calling God, the Lord, the God of his salvation. Heman doesn't say that because he was feeling saved. He wasn't feeling saved at all. He was miserable. He felt like he was experiencing the wrath of God. But even as he felt that misery, he believed God's promise. He truly believed God was his salvation, which is a good example of faith. And we see in the psalm that it was persistent faith because Heman cried out to God day and night. This is an excellent example for us. Heman was not turning to other gods. He was not denying God. He was not giving up on God. He was not ignoring God. He was not running away from God. Heman was day and night crying out to God persistently. Heman didn't know our Reformation lingo, but we see here in this psalm that he knew salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in God Almighty alone. There is no other who can give it. So we hear him crying out to God alone. Heman felt like God was far from him. More so, he felt like he was experiencing God's wrath. And he probably didn't understand why. Why am I experiencing this? Notice that there's no confession of sin in this psalm. You won't find that here. There's no confession of sin. So Heman was likely confused as to why he was feeling God's wrath upon him. Why was he sinking into the darkness, separated from other people, probably by illness? What is going on? But even as he felt that darkness wrapping around him, he persisted in faith. He cried out to God for help. He cried out to God in the dark. And his cry was constant. He did not give up. The psalm shows his persistent faith because we hear his cry two more times. Now look at the end of verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9. The verses say, I am shut in so that I cannot escape. Again, it's possible he was quarantined, shut in because of a disease. I'm shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. He was not feeling good. So what did he do? He writes, every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Haman did not stop going to God because he believed in God. He believed his promises. You see that again in verse 13. In that verse, Haman says, "But I, O Lord, cry to you, and the morning my prayer comes before you." Dear friends, this is an excellent example of faith. In the midst of darkness, which more than likely was the result of illness, Haman may have been quarantined. In the midst of that darkness, he continued to cry out to God. This is a good example to us. This is persistent faith. And that is something we should learn from this psalm. When we are feeling the darkness and close around us, we should persist all the more in faith, crying out to God. To emphasize that lesson, I now want to turn to what I'm calling the purpose of this psalm. The purpose of this psalm. I submit to you that one purpose of this psalm is to show us that Christians do experience darkness. Christians experience darkness. I think that's one of the reasons this psalm is in the Psalter, to show us that. Under this heading, I'll tell you more about Haman. We learn two interesting facts about Haman in the Old Testament. First of all, we learn that he was a musician in the temple. And secondly, we know he was wise. He was a musician, and he was wise. He was very wise. I'll show you the passages in which we see these interesting facts about Haman. On the screen is verses from 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You can see that Haman was a singer. He was a singer along with Asaph. We've heard from Asaph and other psalms. Haman and Asaph sang together. They were lead musicians in the temple. I'm sure it was a real treat to hear Haman sing. He probably had a beautiful singing voice. And look at 1 Kings chapter 4 with me. This is a very interesting passage. This passage is actually about Solomon. It's about Solomon, but Haman is mentioned when speaking of Solomon. Listen, "So that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and of all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all the other men, wiser than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Haman." Wiser than Haman. Now, wow, why would it say that? Well, to explain how great was Solomon's wisdom, Haman was mentioned. Why? Because Haman also was wise. He was known for his wisdom. To say he's wiser than Haman, well, that was saying a lot. Because people obviously knew Haman's wise. And to say, well, Solomon's wisdom surpassed his wisdom and the wisdom of Ethan, was saying a lot. So this was a compliment for Solomon and also a compliment for Haman. And I submit to you, one purpose of this psalm is to reveal that people like Haman can still feel the darkness. Wise people can feel the darkness. Worship leaders who sing in the temple, leading others to give praise to God, they too can feel the darkness. In this fallen world, any Christian can feel like the darkness is surrounding them. It's simply helpful to know that. It's helpful to know that you are not lost because you're feeling the darkness is surrounding you. Second, this psalm shows us what Christ came to save us from. Or said another way, this psalm gives us great appreciation for the advent of Christ. Listen to what Zechariah prophesied about his son, John the Baptist, and also Jesus, for whom John the Baptist prepared the way. We heard that this morning in our call to worship. Concerning his son, John the Baptist, Zechariah said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his peoples and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Jesus was born to give us light and rescue us from the darkness. Not just the feeling of darkness, Jesus was born to rescue us from the very real darkness of eternal hell. Psalm 88 prepares us for that, to appreciate that, to understand it. Jesus was born to enter the darkness of hell for us and nail it to the cross. Dear friends, no matter how good we are, and no matter how wise we are, no matter how we serve in the church, the truth is we do deserve the darkness. We do deserve hell. Because of our sins, we deserve that eternal darkness. Jesus came and entered that darkness for us. For on the cross, in his humanity, Jesus was separated from God, his Father. He was forsaken by him. You remember that? My God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, in his humanity, Jesus was separated from God, his Father. He was separated from other people, for they all deserted him. His own apostles, his 12 friends, they left him. He was alone in the dark on the cross. Why? To rescue us from the dark. That's why. That we might have light. He took hell. He nailed it to the cross for us. Born to give light, which we desperately need. Listen to what Jesus himself said. We read in John chapter 8, verse 12. "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Psalm 88 helps us appreciate those amazing words. Dear friends, Jesus will save you from the darkness if you give your life to him with faith in him. Do not run from Jesus. Do not turn from Jesus when you are in the dark. Run to him. Go to him. Cry out to him. Do so with persistent faith. I've already shown us this truth in the psalm, but it's the last purpose of the psalm, or the main purpose of the psalm, actually, to show us that persistent faith. No matter how thick the darkness might feel, keep on praying. Keep on trusting in Jesus. You might not have immediate relief from the feeling of darkness, from whatever situation you're in. You might not have immediate relief, but Jesus will not fail you. He came to give light. And you will see his light forever. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we see in this psalm, and we see in our experiences, we see in our world right now, that the darkness is real. And we need to be saved from it. And we're so grateful that Jesus came. We're grateful for his first advent. We're grateful for what he humbly did for us. We're grateful for what he endured, what he faced, that we might have his light. We turn to Christ. We cry out to you. We know our salvation is in you alone. It's to you we look. Come and fill our lives with your light. We look forward to that second advent of Jesus when we will fully see your light and walk in it forever. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.